Rio.
And it's your girl Drea, and you're listening to
Lust Lifestyle.
We are here. We are back. It is 2021.
I can't believe that. I can't. 2021 doesn't sound right.
It doesn't. It doesn't even feel right. We didn't really get to come to y'all a lot in 2020 because, as we all know, pandemic season was very crazy for all of us.
Still in effect.
Yeah, it's still in effect to this day, and we're just trying to wiggle our way through this. We are trying something different. Normally, Andrea and I are together, but this time we are recording from two separate places.
Literally.
So, yes. So we are trying this out. This is different for us. So we're going to all, as a family, get used to this weirdness that is now what we call life.
Right.
So, right into it. Thank God for emojis. Andrea, what has your 2020-2021 emoji? What can you say? What is that like?
That's a lot of 20s.
Girl.
2021. I'm going to say my emoji for today. I was having a good day. I'm going to say sunshine. A ray of sunshine.
Okay.
I feel that this year I'm going to take charge more of my life and my future career path. Not going to lie, y'all. 2019 and 2020 has been very challenging for me. And so I've realized that, you know, when it comes to, you know, figuring out what works for you, you have to let the toxic things go and evolve. And so really, I think I'm just going to go ahead and just, you know, take a risk out on what I want to do and just, you know, just hope for the best and keep my faith. But that's definitely why I had a sunshine emoji for my thing guy for emojis. What about you, Loria? How you feeling?
I'm feeling a little overwhelmed.
I feel that.
My emoji is probably like three emojis, like the one with the mouth open, the one with the face with the hand covering the head, and then the one with the little cringy face. Like, I'm like going through all these different emotions, but they're all basically the same.
Right.
Your girl, I took a step out on faith, and in December of 2020, I went ahead and I left my job. It just wasn't for me. So I took that moment. I had a car accident in October. I had a lot of thinking within that October to December moment, that final moment. And I really prayed and I asked God, I said, you just guide me to where I need to be. Order my steps, because I don't know what I need to do. I just know I don't need to be here. And he guided me. I resigned on a Monday. I went home early that day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I received an email from a school district saying that they needed me to start immediately that Friday.
Okay.
I went to work that Friday, and I worked that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday, one of my old middle school teachers is a teacher there while I was subbing. And she loved the way that I handled my class, and she liked my classroom management style. So she recommended me for a long-term sub position. Little did I know, as she was recommending me, different people were coming into the classroom. I had never met the principal. The principal was one of those people, and she recommended me for a full-time teacher. I couldn't be more thankful for the position that I'm in right now, because mentally, emotionally, physically, the other one was too much, and this was just a breath of fresh air. So I'm okay. I'm doing really well. So
Amen.
My emoji is, it's crazy, but I'm going to get there.
I like that. And, you know, that's kind of where we are right now. Like, this whole pandemic has kind of really made you realize what your worth is, you know, like dealing with, you know, a job that may not treat you correct, may not, you know, give you what you need. And it only provides so much. But it's like, at some point in time, you can't do things just because it pays the bills. Sometimes if it's not adding up to your work-life balance, if you're not feeling like you're able to contribute, or you're not feeling like you're getting, you know, paid for your effort and your accomplishments, it's time to go. You know, and I think that's what we have to instill in ourselves too, because nowadays everybody wants you to, you know, we're kind of like in the transition of the pandemic. I've noticed that a lot of people are either taking a step out on faith, or they don't care anymore. I mean, if they don't care, it's more so like, I've lived my life doing what's one thing, what's taking another risk going to do for me, you know? And I've kind of like wanted to learn how to have that mindset this year, especially being in my job for 2 years. And I just feel like I'm not happy there. It's not giving me the push or need that I have, the will for my drive, what I want to do with my life. And I just feel like sometimes you kind of have to not only go on faith, but kind of go on like instinct. If you know it's not right for you, you know, why keep forcing yourself to keep
going? Why keep
with
going
it?
And pushing yourself to stay in the same uncomfortable position?
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Right, right. And that's definitely what we're getting into when it comes to a lot of things, especially last year, starting last summer with the Black Lives Matter protest and what's going on nowadays, the double standards that we have going on. Let's talk about that from last summer
right
to now.
Right into the hot topics, honey, because it was something crazy.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, man, you got to go first on that one because it's just been a lot. I don't even know where to start. with it.
Well, All right, so we go right into the protesters that they wanted to call them. I'm going to call them what they truly were.
What, thugs? Yeah, thugs.
Who ran all into the Capitol.
Acting a fool.
Acting a fool.
A fool.
Because their president told them to stand up for something, but then he wanted to push back when they started to act all crazy and act like he didn't lead them to go there. Now, and I really hate that I even have to have this conversation, I even have to make this comment, but had it been African Americans,
right.
Black Lives Matters protesters, the actual peaceful protesters,
right,
we would have been shot and killed. We wouldn't have even made it to steal Nancy Pelosi's
lectern.
Yes, we wouldn't have made it that far. Right. We wouldn't have been able to crawl up on the walls and get inside the buildings. Right. We wouldn't have been able to sit back with our legs up, taking a picture in offices, government official offices.
Right.
Like, it literally made my blood boil seeing all of that happen on the news.
Right.
Because I know that it would be different in a double standard for us.
It really would. The sad part about it is that comparing the riots of the cap that happened at the Capitol within the past week and a half, really, because it feels like it happened yesterday, because it's, you know, compared to that, to George Floyd's protest, it really mind-boggling how there was no security amped up for those people to come out there and attack the lawmakers and the senators for going against what we've all been knowing since November 4th, 2020, that, you know, Biden won, of course, but it doesn't make sense how there was no one prepared for that. But all of a sudden, when there's Black Lives Matter protests, even another girl, she went out there the past week to show the difference between our protests versus theirs, is that the cops were there, prepared. They were already lined up in the front waiting for them to come there. But where was the same effort at literally 2.5 weeks ago when America was under a freaking hostage, you know, situation? Like, we're almost looking at another war, another civil war on the brink of ignorance. And that's exactly
but it's
real.
Okay, because most of the officers that were there, they were also helping them get into the building.
Oh, yeah.
They were out of uniform, off-duty officers, rioting, doing these things that they talked so badly about Black Lives Matter protesters for, and I just don't understand. And I'm really praying and hoping to see somebody needs to go to prison. I don't mean jail for 30 days, 60 days. I mean, these people need to go to prison.
Right, right. And speaking of prison, you know, Trump signed an executive order last year about, you know, people basically, if you're basically, you know, doing things that are against what I'm sorry, I have to like really research a particular law, but basically you're getting 10 years for doing anything that's considered a threat to like democracy. And so just so happened the next year, where are we at right now? His people committed the exact crime. For him to be impeached twice as a president, that's for one the most historical thing I ever heard in my entire life. You got impeached twice. The first time you should have been out the first time. I'm just saying we should have already took him out the first time. The fact you made it to a second time, it shows me the privilege that you have to be Donald Trump, a former reality TV star with no type of political background. You just said you wanted to do it and you got it.
A white American.
White American
society. Because had it been President Barack Obama,
right,
do you think that would have do you think this would have lasted this long? Do you think that he could have gone around saying the China virus and all of, I mean, no, just racial slurs all around the world. I remember I saw a video not too long ago about them being upset when president, because he's my forever president, President Barack Obama was getting on social media telling people they needed to make a change. He was actually talking about positive political talk,
right.
But we allow Donald Trump to talk about fake news and fake people and China this and I mean, just get away with everything.
Right, right.
And it's okay.
Right.
The second Obama did anything, it was a problem.
Right.
Like, we need to, I really pray with this Biden and Harris, I really pray that we get to see some real change.
Yeah.
I know that it's not anything that can happen immediately, but it needs to be something that happens soon.
Right.
There needs to be some sort of plan to make sure that this does not continue to go on.
Right.
Moving right out of that, we move into close proximity in our area in Galveston County, the family of Joshua Feast. Joshua Feast was a 20-year-old. No, I'm sorry. He wasn't 20. He was 19.
Mm.
He was young, 18 or 19, like fresh out of high school. Young man. I don't know his major history, but none of that is important. His background. The major thing that I know is the video that I saw.
Right, right.
The officer was getting out, he was pulling in, he was still driving. He was stopping the car, parking, and shooting his gun out of the door. He never told him to stop. He never told him anything. He's just shooting out of the car. He gets out the car. He's already shot him in the back. Then he waits until he is laying on the ground, literally lifeless, to tell him to raise his hand and ask him to actually saying he's resisting arrest or whatever the words were. I'm very passionate about this because I'm tired.
Right.
I'm just sick of it. And it hurts that it's such close proximity, because I think about my little cousin, my little brother, I think about this. This young man, like I said, I don't know his past history, what history him and that cop had together. But at that point, none of that mattered, because that was a new situation.
Mm-hmm. That's.
He took that boy's life, and they're saying that basically it's okay. He did what he was supposed to do as an officer.
Mm. And I feel like the family with that. See, the sad part about where we're from is that they criminalize a lot of the young black youth from the time they're kids to the time they get older. So it's no surprise that they'll bring up his history and, like, you know, what he's done in the past to justify his death. For me personally, I think at this point in time, we have to kind of, like, teach our kids, like, you have got to be careful where you are, who you're with. You know, I work in an area where I'm more likely to see death at a lot of quicker rate than I'm normally not used to right now. And to me, a lot of these kids are getting killed left and right, getting shot, like just come home from a party, going to go see their friends. Like, it's to the point where I'm just like, I don't know. I'm kind of numb to, like, a lot of the violence now. Like, it's so sad to, like, everything that's coming around that's going on in our community. Like, at what point do we just say, like, enough is enough, you know? What do we do? Where do we go from point A? How do we, you know, how do we start from, you know, making this something that's, like, really important in our community? And it's a lot. It's a lot. Like, it's a sad story, because to see it on TV and know that you're from the area that it happened, it's kind of like, whoa, like.
It makes you really think. Of course, with George Floyd, it was close. It was Houston area, but it wasn't
right,
here.
Right.
When we talk about Josh, he was in the city that we are from, that we live in, that we're back and forth in all the time. So it's very disheartening to just hear this, and it just hurts me to the core, especially when you see the actual body cam footage, when you see it from the officer, when you see that the officer was in the wrong. when you can see it with your own eyes, and I guess that's what makes it worse. Or you would think with social media, people say social media is bad, social media is this. It can, it has its bad parts and it has its good parts. But you would think with having official video footage, like you can see this, you would think that that would be some help to us. And it's still nothing.
It's to the point where I don't know what we can really do as far as like, you know, just keep, you know, letting our voices be known, because I feel like a lot of the times, I don't know if you heard recently, but they're gonna recharge. They're gonna look into. They opened the case up against the guy that the police officer that did have his knee on George Floyd's neck, and basically he's getting a separate trial. With that being said, I feel like we're in a culture where, you know, being a bad cop versus a good cop is kind of like you can't really say it. You know, it's kind of like there's no such thing as a bad cop. It's like no, like I don't know if you heard about this Chris Rock quote, but he basically said there's no such thing as a bad pilot. You can't say, oh, well, this pilot, you know, crashed a few planes here and there, but we got 95% other good ones. No, you have to be good at all times with your job. And the thing that we have when it comes to cops, I just feel like there's not enough de-escalation training. If you look at other countries, like I watch, you know, TV all the time, so I watch different things in other countries. And, you know, places like Sweden and Finland and China, like they don't have all this stuff that we got going on with the police. Like the police are pretty much, look, we're here for you. And judging by how they interact with the civilians in other countries, that's exactly what they're supposed to be over there. It's over here. But we don't have the same interaction over here. Yeah. You know? So it's like it really had to start from the bottom and clean house is what I call it. Clean house, you know, and remove the good from the bad at this point. That's kind of where we at.
We have to, like you said, continue to let our voices be heard. Don't, even if we can't make it to these protests, do the hashtags. Speak about it on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. Keep talking about it, because they see it. They see it. As long as they see it, it'll make a difference somewhere, somehow, some way. Let's keep the Feast family in our prayers. And anytime they have any events coming up, we will definitely be discussing it on here. And we will let you know any protests that they have coming up anytime moving forward in 2021. I'm praying for that family. They're all in my prayers, and I just all we can do is keep hope alive right now, and maybe some good can come out of this terrible, terrible situation. Moving into our next story, we are talking about sorry, that moment just kind of got me. Moving into our next story, we're going into the birthdays of today. One of the major birthdays that we have that I have to talk about is the golden girl of all golden girls, my girl Rose.
Miss Betty White.
Miss Betty White. Today is her 99th birthday. I like when I tell you Betty White is like one of my favorite actresses of all time. Betty White has been here through decades, like from my grandmother to my mother to me, generations. Like she has been in it, been about it, and she keeps reinventing herself every time. Like that's, I feel like if the best way to stay is to find a way to make yourself needed in every circumstance, and she has done it.
Not only just Miss Betty White, but Jim Carrey. Oh my gosh, I love Jim Carrey. Like I'm not gonna lie, y'all. Like if I could watch The Mask and just sit here and watch it again, I would do that. Me myself, I could have a whole Jim Carrey feast from like watching In Living Color to like, oh my gosh, Me Myself and Irene. To like,
I love
that's
that
a funny move. That's one of my classic Jim Carrey. Even to Bruce Almighty, like I'm this Jim Carrey. Like, oh my, like I'm telling y'all, like when he reaches 99 years old, I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna be like, no, Jim, you're supposed to get older.
I remember when,
like it don't hit you that our legends are getting older, man. Like it's like, wow, like he's 59 actually, and I'm like, wow, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey's 59. Wow.
Right. God. James Earl Jones is 80 today. You know, kudos to James Earl Jones, the Mufasa, the Prince Akeem's father.
Yeah, real one too.
Also, I believe Lil Jon's birthday is today. He is 50. Now, that threw me off because he's 50. Lil Jon is 50 years old. I'm just like, wait a minute. I was like a kid when you came out. Come on. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, what?
Okay. That's my boy. I remember Lil Jon used to have us turned up in the little parties at the beginnings when I was in middle school. Put it out.
I was my first seventh grade dance in New Beginnings, and I was just kind of shocked. I was like it was Twista, and I forgot what song it was, but everybody knew this song you played. And I was like, that's the song. And I was like, that was my era. Like, yes. Mm-hmm. We're getting there, y'all. 90s babies, we're getting there. Our legends are getting there with us, man. It's beautiful to see us, though, like, all transition to, like, adulthood and our different stages of life. So I love it. It's beautiful. And speaking of butterfly stages of life, I heard that the little Clubhouse app, they have, like, different topics going on nowadays. And apparently they have, like, different topics such as men are trash or are we the ones that are trash, attracting trash men. And I'm be honest with you. Back in the day, I attracted trash men because I was trash. But now I've gotten better. I've gotten better in picking out the right type of guy for myself. And I think that it comes with, you know, adulthood, the different stages that you have to go through as an adult. You know, like, I was reading an article where we were talking about, like, how young girls who – when you're young, you're in love, and you want to, you know, all these different things, and you don't think past, like, okay, at 25 years old, we all thought we were going to be married, have kids, this and that. Half of us are past 25, like, hey, I'm still here, you know? And I'm kind of like, we really have, like, in my opinion, as a culture, via social media, I feel like that we really have all, like, learned to, like, not really, like, live up to, like, the expectations we have for ourselves, if that makes any sense.
We're learning that.
And it's like, we're learning it. We haven't gotten to the whole apex, and we're learning that now of how not to let expectations get to you. And for me, like, at 25, I thought I was going to be married. And that. I'm just like, I'm barely just getting to that stage of, like, learning to love and learning to pick the right people to be around me, the right energies and things of that nature. And I think that it also comes with dealing with trauma, you know, learning how to process your trauma and learn how to make whatever you went through back in your you know, your life, like, to notice those red flags as well as those green flags. And I think I noticed a lot about myself back in the day when it came to dealing with, like, trash guys. Like, I literally, like, I don't know, I liked them for, like, the attention of it, but I didn't look at the red flags of that scenario, you know. And
because at the time you're not thinking
right.
On it, in our 20s, we're not thinking at all long term. Or at in our early 20s, we weren't thinking long term, I should say.
At all. I was just like, well, he's cute, or he's smart, or he's in school, but it's like, okay, but let's say you hit 25, 28 with this person, like, then what? And we never got, and that's the thing about it, a red flag in my relationships, we never got to that point. We talked about the future a lot. It was always, I talk about my future, but I just always heard myself talk about my future. So it's like, interesting. So every guy I've dated in the past, and they talk about a future because there was no future to begin with in the first place, you know. And as I've gotten older and I've kind of, like, allowed myself to heal and be single, I've noticed the green flags in my new relationship where, like, we're both talking to each other about our past traumas and, like, you know, what we experienced in our past relationships and what we don't want to go through. And it's a lot of self-reflecting, and it's kind of scary, but it's beautiful at the same time, because I'm finally realizing that, like, I kind of internalized that I didn't deserve love as a kid, you know. And so I think as a woman, that's definitely important before you have kids, too, to instill in yourself self-love and learning to love who you are before you bring something else into this world, too.
And even before kids, before you get into, like, a real relationship, right, I think it's very important to know yourself. Because if you don't really know who you are, you don't want to learn yourself in a relationship with somebody else, because you know how sometimes one day you can just wake up and you're a totally different person.
Right.
The person that you've been with, they only know who you were. So when you're changing and you're becoming this butterfly, they're stuck at the worm stage.
Right. Just like, you know, with Cassie, like, I like to always bring up Cassie because I just like, I like her and Sierra's transformation. So, like, dealing with trash guys, like, you quickly saw that when they let those kind of men go, their whole persona changed, their whole demeanor, their dynamic, how they cared themselves, their goals, their visions, how they healed everything, all that changed, and all of a sudden they got their Russell Wilson and their Alex Fine, you know. And for me, I think I also used like 2020 to kind of heal from a lot of things too, because like I said, the, you know, the way the year was going, it was very hectic, it was very like overwhelming, it was depressing too. And I realized that my biggest goal for this year is to like really focus on my career and get my career going. And if I can't get that going, then, you know, what good am I in any other parts of my life in the sense of that, you know? And I think that's important. You know, that's also an important aspect that we got to tackle to when it comes to brand, building our brand with this podcast too. Like trying to figure out what works for us and what doesn't work for us, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And just to piggyback and kind of go back to your initial statement of Clubhouse. When we – Clubhouse, I'm pretty sure everybody, if you don't know what it is, it's a social, a new social it's a new social network where you are allowed to take away the likes, the pictures, and all it is about conversation, networking, getting to know people, having conversations with the people that sometimes you think are out of touch. Celebrities, you can have conversations with celebrities as regular people, and you can get to know these people outside of who they are, who they portray themselves to be online. In one particular conversation the other day, I saw the topic, men are trash. So when I saw that, I instantly clicked in, because I'm like, okay, why we gotta, what's going on? Why we doing our men like this? What's going on? So I listened in on the conversation, and within that conversation, I noticed a few things that really, really stood out to me regarding men being trash and our acceptance of it. So there was a story. I'm not going to get deeply into it because I don't remember all the details, but it was a situation where a guy did a girl wrong. And I commented, you raise your hand and you say, okay, so in this situation, what I'm listening to is basically you're saying that, yes, this guy was trash, but I allowed him to bring the trash into my life and I added on to his trash. So we have to take a little bit of, like you said earlier, self-reflection, and we see what we're allowing. A lot of times people always say you will attract what you are. And if we're taking, if we feel like we're getting trash, what are we throwing out?
More trash.
Exactly. So as we, I thought about this conversation, I brought it up to Andrea. I wanted us to talk about our trash situations that we have been in, and then the situation where we were the trash shirt. This conversation is a little personal, a little deep, but I feel like we're all friends here. This is what Lux Lifestyle is about. We're finding the luxury in the struggle. We are learning from our mistakes. And this is what this conversation is about. So we're going to tell our stories, and we are very, very interested in hearing yours. So if you want to share, you can definitely leave a comment on our page. You can DM us if you don't feel comfortable, and we can share some of the stories next episode, just a few to start off the show. So Andrea, do you want to go first?
Ooh,
or you want
me to let's go first? See, I'm going to let you go first. Yeah, I feel like you have more juicy stories than I do. Mine's kind of like,
girl, and it's not even good to have juicy stories. Goodness. All right. So, let's see. My story where, I guess I was given the trash. All right. So, I started talking to this guy. I was probably like 22, 23 or whatever. So mind you, the mindset I had then, I don't have now. At that time, I was talking to a couple of different people. I personally, if I don't have a boyfriend, and it may have been a toxic trigger or not, but if I didn't have a boyfriend, I'm gonna text a couple people. allowed to have friends. So I was talking to this guy. He asked me, could he take me out to lunch? I said, sure. I have no problems. Let's try. We go to lunch. He instantly, while we're sitting there, begins to tell me about a previous relationship that he was in and the negative effects of that and how I may or may not see him in the near future, discussing these negative qualities that the other young lady had on Facebook. Right there, red flag, right. I should have took it. Why are you talking to me about a previous relationship? Why are we discussing you dogging her on Facebook? Why? Like, that's all. Red flag. But in my mind, I'm thinking, whatever, I know I'm not going to take him serious, so we can just lunch it up, dinner it out from time to time. That's it. I'm not going to take him too serious. Well, we go on. Come to find out, he let me know that he previously talked to one of my friends. I said, well, okay. That's another red flag. I don't like that. I don't do the talking to the friends that my friends talk to. Another one. I said, well, you know what? I really don't like him like that. And in the midst of that, I was talking to my now boyfriend, and I was very much so involved in that conversation. So I was like, well, whatever. I don't got to text him like that. You did that, whatever. So eventually, like I said, my now boyfriend, we went further. Like, our conversation was more what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
More purposeful. We were going somewhere. We were setting goals. We were actually talking about moving on. It was nothing negative. It was all positive. So I'm like, okay, I'm about to focus more so on this guy. I stopped responding to this guy, and out of nowhere, I get this random FaceTime call from him, and he tells me that he has told the friend that he and I have been talking, that we liked each other, and that we were going out. And I'm just like, hold up. I didn't give you the green light to say, okay, yeah, we go together. Like, I haven't even been responding to your messages. I'm interested in a whole nother person. What are you talking about? So, as you can tell, I saw a whole lot of red flags from him. I should have just stopped talking to him, but I didn't. And that's what I led myself to. He told her that before she and I could even have a conversation, she believed what he said. She and I, for like a couple of days, it was like a real rough patch. It was like she was talking about crazy stuff on social media with me, and I'm just like, girl, like we friends in real life, like talk to me. And she ended up calling me one Friday night, and she was like, I'm gonna fight. She pulled up to my mama house, and yes, and we like literally had a fight in the front yard, like get up. I'm disgusted, like, even talking about it now, because if anybody who knows me for real, I don't do stuff like that. Like, I don't fight, I'm for sure not about to fight over no guy. Like, that's, like, ew. Like, that's disgusting to me. Like, don't do that. But that is how that situation unfolded, and that was because I allowed that trash to stay in my life when I could have just thrown it away, looked it out for the dogs. I kept it fresh.
Dang, girl. Yeah, that situation reminds me of my situation a long time ago. Like, oh my gosh. Like, my trash story, because that's a trash story right there. That is trash with a capital T. You don't get the valet service takeout, that kind of trash. You just got to take it yourself.
Okay?
That's trash. It's like, my story, well, I was dating a guy at the time, and this is like maybe about three or four years ago. I don't know, time went by. It's in college, y'all, so it don't count.
So basically, we were already dating and this and that. And so his ex, me and her, she had like a little issue with me like throughout the time. And none of this stuff clicked while we were together, right? So like one day we were talking and he had went out of town. He had not went out of town. He went to his parents' house to go, you know, hang out with his friends and stuff. And so his ex was still cool with their friend group. They're all a friend group. The ex was a part of the friend group. So he told me she was there. And so in my head, I'm just like, you know, I don't think that's cool to like, you know, still be friends with your ex and not think, tell me ahead of time, like, hey, she's going to be there. And in my head, I'm just like, I don't care if it's just you and your homeboy and her, it's the fact that she's still there. So with that means that was one red flag. Another red flag like revealed to me last year. So like before me and him started dating, we were like, just, you know, being cool, just talking here and there, texting, talking, going out to eat, whatever. And one day she had found my blog that I did a story on, like, me and him going on a date and, like, just me talking my past love life. And she started tagging me on Twitter. And so I was like, okay. So she went out her way to go find me on Twitter. I'm going to go find me on social media. So I went about to go do that. But long story short, it never occurred to me why this girl was so, like, the word I want to say is, like, such a hater at the time. I'm like, well, if y'all broken up, y'all ain't dealing with you, what's your issue with me? I didn't realize to me about a year and a half or 2 years after we broke up that they had literally broke up a month before me and him became official. So it wasn't like, there was a real big gap between their relationship and ours. So I realized that this year, 2020, and this is a relationship that happened 2017, 2016. I'm just like, wow, that's what it was. So ladies, don't be dumb like me thinking that the girl coming at you sideways, because the dude probably plays a big flag in that too. And I'm like, wow. And so, like, after we had broken up, he started talking about me dragging my name on social media. And mind you, he did the same thing with his ex, too. So those are red flags that I ignored from day one. Him being insecure and telling me about their relationship. To her tagging me on Twitter, you know, me thinking that if this is the girl that you're not dealing with no more, like, what the issue is. Three, getting a year-long and a half relationship with him, thinking it's all peaches and cream, and realizing, like, I was a fool. So... No more insecure man for me. I can't do it. Yeah. I've learned my lesson. I just realized, you know, the best thing in life is free. It's literally like just knowing your worth and knowing that you don't deserve less than because it's there. You feel me? So that's my trash. I'll take it out on a Sunday night.
Okay. Now, while we did take this moment to talk about trash men that we had, it wouldn't be right if we didn't talk about times where we were the trashers. Well, we were the trash and we were supposed to be taking out.
Let's see. Well, I'm just saying like this. I don't really have a story of a long history with this guy, but my high school ex, he really wasn't an ex because we kind of didn't stay together that long anyway for it to count. So yeah, it don't really count me, y'all, but we basically...
Hey, I say they all count. You just learn. They just experience.
Right, but they didn't. I mean, to me, they didn't mean much as time went on. So that's why they don't count. But anyway, one of my exes, we kind of were messing around here, and then when I came back home from college, and I was kind of like this. We were just talking, you know, getting back to being acquainted with each other and things of that nature. And for me, honestly, I was like, I really don't think I like him like that. I'm like, I just like the attention that I knew I could have him if I wanted to. So I played around with that idea, and I took advantage of that. So I would go to his house and hang out with him. He'll give me food, and he didn't have, you know, what he needed at the time. So I'm just like, okay, I'll help you out with this and that. No money, no nothing like that. But it's the idea of giving him a ride to this place. So I was like, okay, like, I really don't think I like you like that. So I'm just like, okay, well, you're nice. You're a sweetheart. You care about me. You know about my life story. You can relate to me. But we just really don't have nothing beyond that. Even with, like, relationship wise, just was nothing to keep me like really wanting to be there. So I played around with it. So I'll be like, I'll talk to you this year, then the next year I'm talking to somebody else at the school I was going to. And it was going back and forth till like I graduated. So when I finally came up from college a couple of years ago, we kind of like got back acquainted again, but we kind of like just kind of fell off real, like it was kind of like just naturally fell off. But well, maybe the trash situation in that for me was that I took advantage of his feelings. I knew that he liked me, but I didn't want him the way he wanted me. And he basically told me that the song Jaded by Drake reminds him of me. And I was like, oh, dang, okay, well, shoot. I didn't think I was that bad. I mean, you know, but hey, apparently I was. So, yes, I'm sorry. Forgive me. If you ever listen to this story, I really don't care if you do. But anybody that knows that who I was talking about back in the day, hey, I apologize, okay? I've learned. I've grown and I've moved on to something better, but still, I've grown.
Yeah, seriously. I think we And my story is similar. We all go through experiences, and I guess that's why I say everything counts per se, only in the matter of learning from it. The trash, or I was the trash giver. I was able to take bits and pieces from each situation and see where I was wrong, where they were wrong, and what I wanted to say. Okay, this part of me I don't really like, but this part of me, okay, right. No, you can keep that energy, just move it a different way or show it in another way. So that's why every experience that I ever have, I don't even regret it, because I feel like it made me who I am today, and I am not the same person that I was when I was the trash giver.
Amen. So, amen.
No, for real. What was I going to say? So my experience was in college. I feel like this is where I probably, girl, we was all filling in trash together at this point. I met this guy on social media. You know, that's how everybody else, how you start. You start off social media, liking each other pictures or whatever. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. He cool. I'm cool. We can chat. We started talking a little bit. One thing my nana always told me is to always find a man that loves you more than you love them. And I have believed that my entire life. Sometimes they love you too much more, and I could the way he was, it was just like, it was like over the top. Like, we went on this date, the very first date we ever had. He picked me up, he came to the door, knocked on the door, you know, a whole, the chivalrous gentleman, like doing everything he was supposed to do. We go out to the little restaurant. Huntsville was very small at the time, honey. So we really didn't have so many restaurants to choose from. We went there instantly while we're eating. He decides to inquire with me about a previous person that I dated. Well, number one, that's none of your business. Number two, we're talking about us. Discuss us. I don't like it. So that was number two. He already was giving me, I like you too much, too much vibes. Then he was giving me, I'm trying to be in your business vibes. Don't do that. Right. And then number three, we go to the movies, and in the movie, he's like rubbing on my ear and like touching my elbow. It was just so awkward. Like, I hated it. So from that moment on, I was like, okay. He got a little money. He know what I like to eat. So you know what I'm going to do, baby? We just going out to eat from time to time. And I was a little shallow at the time. So I wasn't like, I thought I was too cute for him. So I was like, nope, we not going nowhere. We keeping it low key type stuff. But as I've gotten more mature and older, I really... I hate that I took advantage of him in that space, because for a while, he was really cool people. He just was weird. He did too much, so I didn't like him. And I felt like I was giving him the thought process of that we were going somewhere, and I knew that we weren't. And I totally hate when guys do it to me, so why would I turn around and do the same thing to him? So as you know, like I said, as you get older, more mature, you understand these things, you see these things. At that time, I wasn't thinking like that. I'm just thinking, hey, he gonna pay for it, I'm gonna go, so let's do it. And now that I'm just more mature, like, I look back and I'm like, girl, why was you even thinking like that? Like, that's not cool. If you don't want to be with somebody, cut it off. Like, let it just edge on and not go into anything, because then both of y'all are stuck in a place that's just stupid. Like, it's really, at the end of the day, it's like y'all end up in that situationship and y'all just in a spot where it's nothing, and then you just fizzle out and don't talk to each other, and then 2 years later y'all see each other on social media and there's a post that says what did they used to be like, number one, send an emoji of what you want to tell me or what you could never tell me, and then y'all say that y'all really wanted to be something, you know, like
I remember those. That was like vintage. That's vintage. Yes. Instagram right there.
So I just say in these situations, I'm gonna be like Tyra Banks. You're gonna learn something from this.
Right. Right.
We really, like I said throughout all of this, you gotta take these experiences and self-reflect. Don't always play the victim. Because in other situations, right, you know where you may have been the trash. So you have to think, you learn, and you move on from those mistakes. Now, don't keep going back to those mistakes and then wondering why you're in the same position. I saw a meme. Well, I constantly see this meme. I would rather cry in Dubai than in my Honda Civic. Baby, I don't want to cry. I don't want to cry.
I don't cry at all.
I want to be happy. I want to be in a position in my life to where I'm on the right track. My finances are good. My relationship is good. My relationship with God is good. Like, that's why I say as you get older, your mind matures. You go through different situations and it uncomfortably pushes you into a better situation. So,
right.
You have to learn from your mistakes, and I'm not going to say learn from your mistakes because they're not mistakes. Learn from your experiences and let them make you better.
Amen. Amen. That finalizes everything we need to summarize right there. Amen. And that leads me for the euphemism of the week right there, accountability. I think that this whole episode, we really talked about stepping out on faith. We talked about how people, you know, whatever you go through in your life, you have to at some point in time take a step back and say, hey, you know, I don't deserve this. Are you the trash or are you the trashy? I think that's really like a real, I'm going to make that hashtag, are you the trash or are you the trasher? And basically, when it comes to accountability, like, take responsibility for the role that you play in your own life. Like, we all play a role in life, but what role do you play? Did you help or hinder yourself? You know, if you know you deserve better, you know, are you going to take a step back and say, I deserve better? Are you going to take some action, or are you going to sit there and be like, well, I mean, it's better than nothing? What side are you really on? And that's really what 2020 and 2021 has taught me already, stepping out on faith and like just taking a risk, but at the same time, learning and knowing you're having a strategy, having a plan, knowing what you want out of your life too. And that's all I can really say with that one right there. Cause that's
it. I mean, that's real. This
right.
I'm telling you, we got to trust in ourselves. We have to find the luxury in our struggle, because if we don't, we're going to be depressed. And I'm telling you, 2021, 2022, and thereon, I will not be depressed because of my situation. All I'm going to do is try to make my situation better. And that's so, if y'all are ready for more Lux Lifestyle,
I am.
Then you need to just keep watching. We are coming. We have a lot of virtual events, I should say, that we'll be doing. If you are not on Clubhouse, you need to get there, because we will start doing weekly Clubhouse nights where we just talk and we want to hear from y'all. Some of them will be recorded, so you might hear yourself on our shows. So just have some fun. Get to know yourself. Keep growing. It's January. I forgot to say 2021, January 26th. It goes down because that is L'Oreal Day, Luxury. In case y'all didn't know. I want to thank y'all for listening. And you know where to follow me. My name, I'm at _LuxLifestyle.
And I am Andrea Simone on Instagram, and on Twitter it's They Call Me Drea.
All right. We thank y'all so much for listening, and we will be back soon.
It's Lux Lifestyle.
It's your girl L'Oreal.
It's your girl Drea.
Listen to Lux Lifestyle.
Lux Lifestyle.